China may be looking at its own increasingly unstable breakaway province to contend with in the next year. Traditionally part of China, Xinjiang province is home of the Muslim Uyghurs and has become a center of challenge to Chinese authority. Long granted quasi-autonomous status, radical elements are openly demanding a Uyghur homeland, while China wants to preserve its control over the region by asserting ancient border rights. The province has been called China's Ukraine, but it also has a tradition of violent confrontation with Beijing, not unlike the Russian experience in Chechnya. In the past year, more than 100 people have been killed in violence in the territory. Jonathan Fenby is the author of Will China Dominate the 21st Century? He says Beijing is aggressively trying to dominate the Uyghurs through military force and through the migration of Han Chinese to the province.
Beijing's mantra, China's mantra, is these are backward places with backward civilizations, cultures there. We are going to bring them up to date. So, for instance, in Kashgar, which was the great Silk Road trading city, when I visited it, it was still very much a Central Asian Muslim Islamic city with very few Han Chinese to be seen. Now, recently, the Chinese authorities have been bulldozing the old parts of Kashgar and building modern apartment buildings there. Now, the Chinese will say, but this is offering the people there, modern apartments with running water and all the conveniences and so on and so on. But a lot of the locals will say, well, the cost of that is that we're being done out of our cultural heritage, stretching back 1,000 years or more.
What's the strategy of the Han Chinese typically in China in dealing with the various ethnicities? It's not like the Russians moving the Tatars around and overwhelming the various provinces with Han Chinese to basically outvote the population of places that are ethnically different.
No, I mean, there has been big Han, immigration into Xinjiang, probably about 40% of the total population. The Chinese approach is a mixture of stick and carrot, if you like. There's a heavy security presence, and that's been beefed up since riots, which killed 200 people 3 years ago. The security's been stepped up, and Xi Jinping, the Chinese leader, on a visit to the region earlier this year, spoke a pretty harsh law and order security message. But at the same time, Xinjiang is important for its energy reserves, oil and gas and coal. And Beijing has been building that up and building up the economic, potential of Xinjiang. So it's a mixture of the two. And, for instance, despite the repression at the moment and the violence, China has still been putting money in to expand education, to set up a new university. So it's a mixture of these things. Under the previous Chinese leader, Hu Jintao, there was a definite attempt to encourage investment and build up the economy there. But on his visit to Xinjiang, Xi Jinping said something along the lines of, well, you're not going to get any investment unless you've got security.
The practice of Islam is prohibited and restricted in Xinjiang. Is that the case throughout China? Are people restricted from practicing Islam in Shanghai and other places in the country?
No, it's not prohibited. Let's say it is discouraged. There are mosques through China. In Xinjiang, I think the Chinese fear is that Islam acts as a recruiting ground and a kind of glue for anti-Chinese elements.
Do the Chinese in Beijing and Shanghai have any sense of what's going on in the Uyghur provinces? And is this something that is a symbol of reform and a sense of the tolerance that other people may be looking for in China?
Well, I think you'd have to say that most of the people living in Han China, China proper, they have a pretty low opinion of the Uyghurs and the inhabitants of Xinjiang. They're normally seen as kind of, backward people who would pick your pocket if they could. And there's certainly, I've never come across a Han Chinese who talks about independence or autonomy for Xinjiang. For them, this is part of China and it's always going to remain so.
Is there a tradition, like in Chechnya, of a military insurgency that would strike out at Chinese targets throughout the country?
Well, this region, which you know lies between China, Central Asia, and Russia, historically, it's changed hands quite a number of times. It was autonomous for a while. It was run by warlords. And what is interesting with the present violence is that it's all been, if you like, quite primitive. It's been a matter of assailants armed with knives and machetes and swords. So this is not a sophisticated opposition, if you like, militancy, radicalism. There was one case last year where some Uyghurs drove a car full of explosives up to the entrance to the Forbidden City, right in the centre of Beijing on Tiananmen Square, and exploded it there. That's about the most sophisticated attack that we've seen.
Finally, Jonathan Fenby, when the headlines come out of Ukraine, does the Chinese government see echoes of potential unrest in places like Xinjiang?
Yes, oh, absolutely. I mean, China is intent on keeping Xinjiang as part of China and of preventing, discouraging any foreign elements getting to work there, either you know other countries or Islamic groups from outside Xinjiang, which is probably really China's main fear in this, that they may infiltrate into Xinjiang and organize there. And there have been reports recently that around 36 Uyghurs from Xinjiang are fighting with the ISIS forces. And so the fear there would be that they will be trained by ISIS and then will go back to Xinjiang and do their fundamentalist work there.
Interesting. Jonathan Fenby is the author of Will China Dominate the 21st Century? He's also the author of The Penguin History of Modern China. Thanks so much, Jonathan.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.